Welcome back to another episode of the Chats with Clark podcast. I'm your host, Joe Clark, and here at Chats with Clark, we don't do poppy intros. We get straight to the point. And the point today is Elias Bertrand. Elias, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, great. I'm happy you're here. Thanks for agreeing to come on.
Of course. Thanks for having me. Excited. Yeah,
absolutely. So Elias, tell us a little bit about you. Maybe give us your background, kind of what you're about, and we'll dive into it.
Okay. Background, grew up in the great old Strongsville, Ohio. It's funny saying Strongsville because most people don't know what that is, but of course, since you also grew up there, you do. So on the west side of Cleveland, if anyone doesn't know. Family, most of them also in like the Cleveland area, super close with them growing up. Yeah, graduated high school, went to Michigan State, studied. I was kind of all over the place in the beginning, new business, but at first I was accounting, did the whole accounting track. And then like my very last year after having a couple internship experiences, switched to marketing. So ended up kind of having a double major in marketing and finance. Graduated last May, moved to Florida in February, and just started a new job recently. Or I've been here a year, but we just started going in the office. So it feels like a new job.
Yeah.
And yeah, this is a little background. Here we are, where we are today.
That's awesome. You've been all over the place. I mean, from Strongsville to Michigan State to now down in Florida.
Yeah, I love it. It's awesome.
You mentioned your family. How many siblings do you have?
So I have two, an older brother and a younger sister.
Okay. How is that being the middle child? How did that influence you growing up a little bit?
It's funny because everyone's like, there's the middle child syndrome where you feel like you're just invisible. I don't feel like that. My family, maybe that's because I'm loud and extra. So I don't know, but it's a weird balance having like the older brother who's always like, I have to protect you. Like moving out to Florida, he's like, you need to do kickboxing. And I'm like, why would I do that?
Oh my
and
God.
Younger sister who just turned 16 2 days ago. And I'm like, oh my God, she's growing up. So Yeah.
That's awesome. You're lucky to have kind of that dynamic. You get to be the older sister and you have the older brother. So it's kind of, I feel like those are like two of like the cliches or whatever, like the older brother or like the younger sister, right? I don't know.
My life, a cliche.
No. That's awesome though. Okay. So then you moved to MSU and you were ended up rocking a double major basically. So how did you know from the start, even though you kind of bounced around, that it was going to be business for you?
So actually in Strongsville, I don't know if you did this, but we have a program called DECA. Jessica Frenchick was the teacher and I absolutely love Frenchie, number one. And she was the first person just to expose me to business. My mom also owns a nonprofit organization in Cleveland. So just kind of seeing my mom and then also knowing blood scares me. I kind of just ended up putting the pieces together like, okay, this is the route for you.
That's awesome. And did it feel pretty natural once you got there doing the whole thing?
It did. Like, I kind of feel bad for some people who go into college and kind of don't have that, you know, good foundation for where you want to be. Because it's just difficult, I feel like, for a lot of people. Because how can you, as an 18-year-old, know exactly what you want to do? I think partly for me, it was luck and experiences of having DECA and having my mom around me. But definitely ended up going straight into the business program, or at least applying and then taking a lot of the classes. It's kind of why I like business, because the first couple of years you're kind of taking supply chain, accounting, finance, marketing. So then you just kind of get a feel for what you want. But I think the most valuable piece, frankly, is actually internships, because you're really seeing what your life would be like outside of a academic program.
That's amazing. Yeah. It's always that time when you're actually working with people and kind of trying to put whatever, you know, even little tidbits into effect.
Yeah. So different from studying it.
Did you get internships right away?
I did. So pretty much every year I ended up having an internship, which was a little difficult. Also being an athlete, like my coach wasn't super happy about it, but it's kind of the sacrifice you end up making, because I think a lot of student athletes don't focus on the academic piece, and then they graduate, they kind of don't have a sense of who they are. And yeah, I think college can be such a hard battle if you just don't really know or don't have the tools. So anyone out in college, I just feel for them.
Absolutely. It is. It's such a time of adjustment. And even though the tools are out there, you have to like find them.
Yeah.
It's always difficult 100%. Too. So Elias, you mentioned being a student athlete, kind of walk us down that path. Did you go to Michigan State because you were an athlete? Did you go to Michigan State for other things and then became an athlete? What was that process like for you?
Yeah. So I'll kind of take it a step back to where, please, in middle school, I was obese, actually, like went to the doctor, they're like, hey, you need to lose a lot of weight or you're going to just be in a very dark path the rest of your life. So I joined the track and field team, or I was already on the track and field team, I'm sorry, in middle school. And then once I got to high school, I was like, okay, so I'm only a shot putter. Why don't I try sprinting? Which was just so abnormal because most throwers aren't sprinters, but I knew I needed to lose weight and like kind of start going down this healthy path and ended up loving it. By the time that I was a senior, I was training like all year round. I also did tennis in high school. And so by my senior year, I quit tennis. I was completely doing track. I hired a trainer. Like I was just full go trying to be the best and ended up somehow. So I won't say somehow. My boyfriend at the time, who we dated for like 4 years, and I think that was year three by that point, both of his brothers played football at Michigan State. And
Nice.
so, junior, senior year, I'm going to games with them. I'm loving the school. I'm loving football. Like, I'm also doing my thing with track, training with my boyfriend at the time. He was a football player and then went on an actual like academic, what's that called? Like, where you tour the school. I did Michigan State, Michigan, and Eastern all in the same weekend with Danielle Abdallah. I don't know if you remember her. She's my best friend. And I just loved Michigan State. Like, there is such a difference, in my opinion, of the people at Michigan State because they're just genuine, nice, authentic, and just amazing people. So it was an accumulation of just loving the people, loving the school, loving the business program, and also then having this amazing opportunity to be a preferred walk-on on the track and field team. So it
So
kind of built me.
awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, congrats. What a path.
Thanks.
It's amazing how it all ties together. I'm always fascinated when I hear people's stories about how like seemingly simple things end up leading into what ended up
Yes.
being 4 years of your life in a totally foreign point at one point, foreign place at one point.
Yeah, small seeds that make trees grow.
Yeah, amen. So to continue, so then you kind of get there and you do become a preferred walk-on and take it from there.
Take it from there. That was an experience. No one warns you about being a student athlete. It was like day one on campus. Or no, I'm sorry. They gave us the first week to kind of get settled. And then after that, it is two practices a day, training, weight room, excruciating workouts, but
Thank
that you
God.
also love, icing with your teammates, meeting other athletes. At Michigan State, we have something called the Smith program. So when you're a senior, I'm sorry, the Smith building, and it's almost like the student athlete library. And when you're a freshman, I'm butchering all of my words at the moment. Excuse me. You have to have 8 study hours in Smith every week. And so you also have academic hours. You're trying to also get your classes started. So I would say, like, the first 6 months at Michigan State, I don't even know what was going on. I was just trying to keep up, make sure my body wasn't deteriorating out in front of me. But then at the same time, it was also so much fun. Like, one of the best experiences of just kind of having like set friends through teammates, meeting people, learning yourself, but also being like super far away from home. So having those, like, I won't gloss over that there were hard moments where you just
Sure.
feel lonely and you feel sad and you're like, is this where I'm supposed to be? But of course, like, looking back, I do know that's where I was supposed to be, but sometimes in the moment, not always.
That's incredible. I mean, it's just such a rigorous schedule that it's
Yeah.
almost hard to comprehend in some ways. In
Yeah.
college and classes and the whole thing is rigorous in and of itself. So,
Yeah, but I loved it. I don't know. I thrive off of that.
did you go all 4 years?
So I actually didn't because the last year was COVID. And so once
Oh,
COVID
yeah.
hit, oh my gosh, I'm not even going to go into all the things that it was like being an athlete. But say we had our little bubbles of who we would train with. Say anyone in your bubble was around someone, got COVID, we had to stay at the Kellogg, which is a hotel on Michigan State's campus, and you had to quarantine for 2 weeks.
Oh my
And
God.
so I'm a senior by this point, and I had to quarantine, and it's like September already, like 2 weeks or two times, I'm sorry, so 4 weeks in total. And it
Holy
was
cow.
just, yeah, it was too much. And ended up, they kind of, I forget what the term is, but I ended up doing like a leave of with COVID. And so still stuck around my teammates, hyped them up at meets, but I kind of knew I was going the more business route anyways.
Sure. Yeah, sure. Okay, so then you finished up at MSU and now you took your little excursion down to Florida,
Yes.
got a job, and you've been working there. What are
Yes.
you doing down in Florida?
So I'm a brand coordinator for the American football title. So it's inclusive of Madden, PGA, which is coming back. I'm pretty sure we've announced it, so I can legally say that. In college football, which is also coming back. And so it's brand coordinator is just like another term for marketer from like a holistic way.
Yeah, so are you posting content? Are you making the content? What is that like? That's kind of awesome.
Yeah. So brand is all encompassing, which is why I
Okay.
love it. You'll
Yeah.
maybe it'll be like a connection point because I just think that's the kind of person I am. And we work extremely close with our brand marketers, the people who build the game. So our studio team, the commercial team, the finance group, and we end up setting the strategy and the vision for why we proceed forward, who our target audience is, why we're going after them. And then, of course, being so close to the brand marketing team, also our activations, what we're doing, what we're posting, and why. And so that's kind of why I love brand, because I feel like it's giving me such a great foundation of so many useful things to know later on to just be like an amazing marketer.
Sure. What do you think you've learned the most so far? What's been like the biggest takeaway?
Honestly, I wouldn't even say it has anything to do with brand. I would say
Really?
the biggest takeaway when it comes to business in general, I think, is how well you manage and deal with people,
Okay.
because you can have the tools, you can have the knowledge to be able to, make a new process or create an amazing marketing campaign. But if you're unable to work with people, set healthy boundaries, communicate how you feel, communicate why an idea shouldn't proceed forward or not, I don't think you would be as successful. Like that, dealing with people, I would say, is one of the most challenging but also rewarding aspects.
Yeah, I mean that's everything, right? If you don't know how to interact with people, more often than not, you're gonna really struggle out working or doing anything in life.
100%.
That's really great that you learned that. So, okay, so you're working for them. Is it a whole team or like what is the kind of the work dynamic? You go in there and are you working on set projects every day or how does this work?
Yeah, that's a great question. So, I'm trying to best explain how does my team work. So, of course, we have our director who's over all
Sure.
of American football brand. And then from there, I would say we call them brand leads. So maybe in a different company, maybe they're like the managers almost, quote unquote. And each of our brand leads has a specific piece within brand that they're really focused on. So one guy specifically is our growth and live services. Not sure if you're familiar with Madden or video games, but Madden Ultimate Team, it's like our number one revenue driver. So he's looking at what's our vision, what's our 5-year vision, what's our 3-year vision, what's our resources, like how are we going to be able to make this come to life, and how is our live services doing once we actually activate a game and launch it. Another person's more focused on like the technology and information piece. Someone else is focused on like the consumer insights, and the other person's that brand marketing person, which you would almost think of as like a pure marketer. And
Okay.
so those four people are like the main, and then from there, because I'm definitely not manager level yet, one day, there's like four or five of us coordinators who kind of help within those specific pillars. But even though I'm under the first guy I told you about, the growth and live services, I still help out in all the other areas, which is great.
That is great. Yeah, you get to get a little piece of everything.
Yeah, it's
Is
awesome.
that your favorite, or do you, or would one of the other threes be better for you?
It's interesting you say that. So I started off in the consumer piece, so really
Okay.
understanding who our target audience is. And then my director had an idea that since we're all like junior level people, that we should be rotating throughout. And so just
That's a good
in
idea.
June, I rotated to the growth and live services team. And I think where I am and or that brand marketing piece are like the two, I think, pieces that I love the most, but it's hard because I love both and I
Yeah.
appreciate see the value in both.
And okay, so wait, if you decided that you're like, okay, I want to switch this up, and you came in there and you're like, I have this idea. Are you going to pitch it to them and their team works on it, or can you shift over and work on that part of that team? Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. I think I would pitch it and still continue working, but like say that
That's
becomes
so
the
wild.
bulk of what I want to do like forever, that I would probably end up switching. But
Yeah.
at the moment, I think they would be okay with me being where I am, and as long as I'm doing my other tasks, that's
Sure.
all
That's
that
fun.
matters.
That's fun. What about these shifts? How long are you in the different categories?
So they're saying 6 months, but the way my manager has been talking, I'm like, I don't know, it sounds like a year.
6 months, you barely get to like get a feel.
100%. So that's why I think it'll probably be a little bit longer. So we'll see. We'll
Okay,
see.
great. And to kind of take it a little more personally for you too, you kind of are your own influencer in your own right, basically in the field of fitness, right? And your overall healthy lifestyle. Talk to us a little bit about that and what you're building your own personal kind of brand on as like your own entrepreneur of sorts.
Yeah, so outside of being a marketer, I also, of course, am, I guess you could say, a content creator. I don't know if that's the best title to call it. I make YouTube videos, I make Instagram reels and shorts. I would say why it all started kind of falls back to that weight loss journey that I went on in high school. Being a person of color, growing up in a predominantly white area, being chubby, being just not the most attractive person, and just having like a lot of insecurities, it was really difficult. And I didn't feel like within the media, I felt like there was anyone I could really resonate with. And I was
Sure.
such a daddy's girl. Whatever my dad and my brother were watching on TV, I would always watch. So of course it's like football or like all of these others. Well, I love football to this day. All of these other, like, I don't know, movies. And every time I would watch shows or movies with them, whenever I would see, like a woman or a character in the movie who was beautiful, the person never looked like me. And it's hard to kind of, how do I say this? Being like younger and seeing visual representations of people who are quote unquote beautiful, but like that beautiful isn't anything of what you look like. It's really difficult. And so I think a part of my health and fitness journey, and a part of what I really want to share with the world is like health and fitness, I think, is just one aspect of loving yourself. And there's so much that goes into it. Again, it's kind of why I'm like holistic health, from eating, from nutrition, from journaling and processing your thoughts, from giving yourself like the self-love and affirmations that you need. But I just kind of want to share everything that I know and my experiences and what I've been through, because being that girl, I know there's other girls that are experiencing that and that struggle with that, especially in the Black community. I think eating and nutrition is something we've struggled with for a very, very long time. And I just want to be that person that I didn't have and hopefully help motivate and inspire people to just feel like they can do it too.
Yeah, that's amazing. I love that even though it started with your own personal, like, I want to do this for me, you have such an others-centered view on it and a perspective that you're like, you know what, through my journey, hopefully other people can gain knowledge, be inspired, and go after it themselves too.
Yeah,
That's really
yeah.
a great testimony to you and kind of the heart that you have there. So that's
Thanks.
awesome. Yeah.
That.
How did it start for you? When did you just say one day, here's my first video, or what kind of sparked the initial go?
Yeah, so in college, while I was doing all that student athlete stuff and studying, I also started training girls on the side, because in
Nice.
dorms, like, people start going through Instagram. They were like looking at me from when I was younger, and they're like, there's no way this is you. And I was like, it was me. And so a lot of them would just start asking me questions like, how do I get abs? Like, how do I work out? Like, can you go to the gym with me? And of course, my business mind was like, why wouldn't I turn this into a business? And so I started training girls on the side. Normally, it was like Sunday mornings when I didn't have practice, and I would have like five clients in a row, bringing them into my apartment gym and or like the intramural gyms, and just show them how to use weights, how to work out, how to work with their body. I even did like grocery shopping trips with girls to show them what to
How
buy.
cool.
Yeah, it was
Yeah.
so much fun. And then I made like so many great friends along the way of it. But honestly, being an athlete and just having this motivation and love for working out was very different from a lot of the people I was working with. And so it was kind of difficult, specifically working with some people who you really, really care about, and you can kind of see the steps that they need to take. But that's kind of one of the hardest pieces of health and fitness, is that you can know it, but if you don't apply it, what good does it do? And so it almost became like emotionally taxing for me, and I had limited time. And so I started thinking, okay, so what can I do to still share all of this,
Nice.
but make it a healthier boundary for me, so that I'm not becoming turmoil when, things aren't maybe looking out for the other person. And so this is all when the pandemic happened, and going into, I think, my senior year, summer of my senior year, started seeing all these videos on YouTube of girls working out. And I'm like, I think I could do this. And just maybe in a different way. Like, I felt like there was a almost missing piece. A lot of, again, fitness people and health people that I see even to this day still don't really look like me. And especially within like the realm of vlogs. And I think there's Black fitness girls who are just showing workouts, but I think health and fitness is so much more than just workouts. And so I saw this like missing piece of who can kind of do it, one with like the Elias flair, and also kind of help girls who look like me and who are maybe also on this journey. And then maybe just being, I don't know, motivated to do it and to learn. So yeah, started working with Adobe, taught myself literally everything.
It's the way to
And
do it.
I know it's so challenging though. No one
It
warned me
is.
about Adobe. I would say finally now I just have like a little bit of more confidence on how to work it. And sorry, long-winded answer to your question.
No, don't
That's how it
apologize at all.
started.
Yeah, you're the guest. Okay, great. So you're posting this content, you start off, and when did you, or maybe not when, but more so, how did you gain the knowledge about the other aspects of it? So you had the working out, and I think generally speaking, not dismissing it or downplaying it whatsoever, but once you get working out, you kind of get how to use your muscles and like build that connection. So the working out part, you had that down. So then you were focused on the other part of the whole health and wellness too. And where did you get your knowledge? How did you become informed on it insofar that you could incorporate it into all these content creating pieces?
That's a great question. I probably say this to a lot of answers, but I think it's an accumulation of experiences. Number one, my mom and her job, she so also backstory, both of my parents were addicts when they were in their 20s, ended up meeting in recovery. And my mom now owns a nonprofit organization to help people with drugs and alcohol abuse. And so my mom, having her background, social worker, psychology, she has this deep understanding of people and self-awareness and why emotional intelligence is so important. So I would say my mom, the experiences of just learning, and I kind of also think a piece of it is just of who I am, of being like a curious person. Like some of the books that I just am more inclined to reading or the podcast always give a little bit more like holistic, big picture point of view. I would even argue of like my job of brand. That's what it is. Like we're looking at all the different aspects of what makes a video game or how this video game can be successful. And from there, we set a strategy on the path forward. So again, to go back to your original question, I think it's just such a mix of different things, books, people in my life. And I think it all drove me just to have this more bigger picture. Yeah. And I maybe too part like faith. So yeah.
That's great. Yeah, you touch on it. You kind of bring it up. So to for the easy lead, talk about your faith a little bit. What is your faith? Where does it
Yeah.
come from? How does it drive you? I'm always curious about like one of the main things with this podcast that I always try and do is look at how people have experienced different things, taken whatever they've taken from it, and then implement it into their lives. So for one of them, and for you, it's faith.
That's a great question. Growing up, my dad's side of the family was Catholic, and you probably maybe now have experience with that working at St. Joe's. It was really, really challenging for me because they would preach a lot of things, they would say a lot of things, but then their actions outside of the church didn't align with what they were saying 2 minutes ago in church. And so it actually drew me to be very like disconnected from faith. And the boyfriend I was telling you about at the time, the ex-boyfriend, he went to St. Edward's. So he was super into his faith. And it was kind of interesting to see like him really into his faith and me kind of like moving away from it. And then once I got to Michigan State, I ended up joining something called Athletes in Action, which just completely changed the way I view God, where I am now. And a book I always recommend for people is Love Does by Bob Goff. In my opinion, I think it's one of the best representations outside of the Bible. Let me not misquote. The Bible is the best, but outside of the Bible, I think Love Does just explains God in the most simplistic way possible, that God is love. And so regardless of what you're doing, where you are, if you are able to love God, love others, and love yourself, like, you are doing God's work. And I think we've overcomplicated it. I think we've made it extremely like hard for people to understand or to connect with, because a lot of us feel like we don't measure up. We feel like, you know, like there's this big God, but then bad things like keep happening. Like, how could this happen if there's a God? And I would even say, like, my answer for that is we're all sinful. Like, we all fall short. So even me saying all of this, like, I still have so much work to do in so many areas of my life. But loving God is a choice, and He gives all of us that choice to choose to love Him or not. And so, regardless of me loving Him or if my sister decides not to love Christ, God still accepts and loves us all. And so, how that motivates me to this day is just knowing that. And also, sorry, to circle back to Athletes in
I'm
Action,
sorry.
ended up going on this trip to Denver. And to summarize the trip, it's pretty much like a week long, super intense week where they give you these five principles in 3 days. And after that, they split you up into teams and you do a 24-hour workout. And it's just gruesome. It's intense. You want to jump off the cliff by the end of it. Like, your body is at its breaking point. And then
Like
they take
physical workout for 24 hours.
physical workout. So we started
What?
with frisbee, then we go into basketball, then we go into swimming. I caught a cramp in swimming. Like, it was bad. It's just bad. You get like 4 hours of sleep at the end of the day, like, depending on where your team is, depends on how much sleep you get. So if you're ranked the lowest, your team's only getting 2 hours, but if you're ranked the highest, you might get 4.5. And so then you wake up the next day, we're doing army crawls. Like, it's a bunch of athletes, so we're just like pushing ourselves, but trying to remember like those five principles, like audience of one, like all of these other things. And then the icing on the cake, of course, was taking us to this hill, and a person's reading a part of the Bible that's normally talked around like Easter, when Jesus Christ died for us, and they're explaining, after everything that we just went through, what the pain was that Jesus sacrificed for us. And how tired I was, how exhausted I was, I still could not understand or even like smallly fathom what Jesus did for us in that sacrifice. In that moment, UTC, I'm forever grateful, because I think as an athlete and being someone who works out, it helped emotionally click for me what Jesus did. And I, like, again, I don't know what that moment could be for other people. Some people may never have that moment. I pray everyone does in some aspect of their life, but now I know. And whenever I give or I try to like love people, that like I'll never love as much as God has loved me, but I still just try to give it, because that's the best. If I'm like, I want to show people God, I just try to love them
That's
simply.
beautiful. Yeah. Little Bob Goff mixed with the Bible, mixed with your retreat 24-hour God. You got a
It's always
beautiful
a
blend
mix.
here. Yeah, you
I
have to have
told
a
you, it's a
blend.
mix of everything.
That's what life is. Life's like a stew. I mean, you don't just have one thing, you know? It's not just like chicken
So
or
true.
potatoes or whatever. It's a nice blend. That's
So
very
true.
great. Elias, what's prayer for you? How do you pray?
What's prayer for me? Ooh, prayer is just talking to God, and I do it all the time,
Yeah.
consistently, constantly. Sometimes prayer, if you're having like a breakdown, it's just, God, help me so I don't do something crazy. Like, prayer could be one word, or it can be, you know, 5 minutes on your knees crying. I think it's a mix of things, but all in all, I think it's just talking to God.
Yeah, I love it. I it's funny because in a podcast or like in a conversation, I can focus really well. But if I'm like, if we were just in class right now, like let's say you were just lecturing to me. I'm like all over the place. I'm just like, or if I go to read, I'm all over the place. So I've always found quick little prayers, or like if you're having a conversation, like that's always been a great way for me to pray too. So I love the talking to God idea of it. Instead of like talking at him talking at me, like, no, this is very back and forth, okay?
That's true too. And that's another thing too, of it goes both ways, which sometimes I have to remind myself of. And you know, different people like can hear God in different ways. I don't verbally hear God, let me just state that, but whether that's like watching a sunset or like actually reading the Bible and seeing what he wants me to learn, or my mom's telling me something I need to be doing better. Like all of those can be like God talking to you. You just gotta be willing to hear it.
Yes, amen to that. Amen to that. And do you find that you being faithful and putting it out there, like you're right, you're not shy about it. Do you find that that's drawn positive A energy to you, but B reaction from your clientele that you're working with through your content?
Ooh, it's interesting you say that. I don't know. I know one friend I have now who's considered one of my best friends. She did say me being open about my faith like drew her to me because she's never seen people like that. But all in all, I actually am really nervous talking about faith because I know there's just so many perceptions and ideas and things that like, people think. And I do know like a lot of people consider me to be really religious, which is just almost triggering for me because, as I told you, having the Catholic background and seeing them. So when they tell me I'm religious, I'm like, oh, so you're seeing me like this? And, but I know a lot of them don't have as much context of like where I do now. So it's kind of like a back and forth. But I would say, all in all, it kind of makes me nervous to share it because I just don't know how people are going to receive it. But I just try to, if I have the time like this, actually share everything that kind of has me at my background to this day. But if not, I'll just simply like, do small, say small things of to try to get them to understand. But I don't know. That's not a very great answer to the question, but
No, but I like that. I like that even though you're apprehensive a little bit or that there's some nervousness about it, that angst doesn't outride the potential influence that you can have with it. And that, what I
yeah.
think is cool about it is like influencers now who are like you, who have other things going and like their whole thing isn't being an influencer, where it's like if they flop, their whole livelihood flops, you know? Like I think that these every, like for lack of a better word, like everyday influencers, I think that's such a cool field because it allows people to do them. Like you do you through and through, you know? I mean, like if you look at your fitness page and the kind of the content that you put out there, everyone knows that you have a job. Everyone knows that you're faithful. Everyone knows that you like to work out and value your health all the way around, and that you have like this meditational process to you with life that you think about it more than just this is what's happening to me. Like you take it and you dive into it. So that authenticity is going to show. So I what I like about that, and to hopefully ease your worries a little bit, is that you don't come off as like phony or kind of hokey or anything like that. Like it's like, you know, like no, like this is really good for her. And I think that people who are following you are probably in a realm of like trying to get better and trying to be good all the way around are going to appreciate that. So even if they are like, you know, I totally don't believe anything she's saying, she's spouting a bunch of BS, like they're going to look at it and say, okay, well, it's really helping her. So what are the, some of the things that I can take from it? And what are some of the things that can help me from what she's saying? I would hope.
Again, that's the goal. It's funny you bring that up too, of like just that authenticity, because I just feel like that's something that's so difficult within, I don't know if it's society today, social media. I know this is supposed to be me answering questions, but I would love to even know for you, like, what is authentic? Like, what does that look like? How do you see it? Because I also feel like that word can be easily thrown around where
Agreed.
authentic can just look so different compared to, the way you are.
Yeah, I think so. I think to take it two ways, I think that one of the major pushes that we see societally is like this authenticity that's not authentic. It's like authentic to just blend in with what we've defined as authentic. And like it's like this like ebb and flow, easygoing, kind of zen, maybe not zen, more like hippie, kind of like, yeah, ebb and flow personality. I think there's that push, which I don't think is it. And I think there's the push on the contrary where her authenticity would be like bombastic and rather in your face and aggressive about it. And I don't think that's really what it is either. I think it's more so probably smack dab in the middle. Like you have to be confident in who you are, which would so take the confidence from the bombastic side and not from the ebb and flow side and the confidence of who you are, but also the peace and the tranquility of like not being in everyone's faces all the time. And that's more from that, that's more zen. So like if you get a nice blend of the two, then you're going to have a confidence that drives you and is you. And then also like not taking everyone else down with you, because I don't think you can really authentically be you if you're tearing everyone else down at the same time, because it's like, wait, how does this work? Like, people innately aren't crippling to other people. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's so good. I love that.
That's to me, that's kind of right what I think about it. What do you
Yeah.
think?
No, I would agree. I think it's a balance of first kind of figuring out who you are, you know, which
Yeah.
is one of the most difficult things, like asking yourself tough questions, figuring out your faith, your values, what makes you unique. And from there, almost like questioning your convictions, because I don't know, I kind of said this in a video that I'm gonna end up posting tomorrow. I just feel like the people who are the most convicted have the most confidence because they've assured themselves of who they are. And so therefore they can show up, whether that's a basketball player, a politician, fitness guru, they can show up confident because they've done that hard work to know this is me. What I do or say may be different from someone else, but that's okay because this is the path that I'm supposed to walk in, which I think you just explained so well.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with you. And that's a hard journey because there's so many factors at us all the time. So like no one really has the ability to just sit down and contemplate all this. But I think like going through life, you have to question, you're like, okay, is this more of who I am or is this
Yeah.
less of who I am? And then you tailor to doing the things that are more of who we are. And
Yeah.
then eventually it just
Absolutely.
keeps rippling to me. I don't know. Unless there's a better process. What do you think?
No, I definitely agree. And I think too, where a lot of people can get stuck, whether that's in fitness or life, is that okay, this is who I want to be, but then the actions don't line up, you know? 'Cause that is almost, I won't say it's insecurities, it's not insecurities. I'm trying to say that's almost like the hindrance of confidence because you haven't assured yourself enough of who you are, if that makes sense.
Sure. Yeah,
Yeah.
for sure. For sure. Well, I think you're doing a great job really in letting people see who you are and dive into that. And that's what makes people who are putting content out there want a following and want to influence people to go do their own thing
Yeah.
is that's, I mean, that's what makes it happen. So,
Yeah, 100%. And you too. These
oh,
podcasts are
thanks.
amazing. I got to catch up with so many people via your podcast who wouldn't have been
Yeah,
with us just by listening to some of them.
that's good. I'm glad you got to listen. Thanks for checking them out too.
Nice.
I was having a conversation with a friend of mine last night, and he's a father of three. He's a little bit older than we are, and he was just talking about, we're just sharing stories and just kind of going back and forth. And but he said he had said, he's like, you know, like this is, he's like, this is me now. He's like, it's crazy to think, like, he's got a 9-month-old and
Wow.
two older children, and then he's like, I'm a father, and like he embraces it, you know, like, he's like, I'm a father, like I'm a husband, like that's who I am. He's like, I'm still a son, you know, because his parents are both still alive, which is rocking. And it was just cool. And what made me think of that was when you talked about how you all have our, you know, who we are, like our identity as what we are, and finding it and having the confidence in it. Like he was just like, no, like I gotta go, I gotta get to sleep, I got kids that are waking me up, and I gotta be ready for them in the morning, kind of thing. And
Yeah.
that's awesome. I think that that responsibility comes with the confidence of it. So
Ooh, that's a good point too. And that's so cute. I think the cutest thing ever is seeing like dads or with their children and kind of loving it. I don't know if that's a girl,
yeah.
but I just think there's it's like the cutest thing ever.
The estrogen in you is just like buzzing like crazy. You're just like, yes. Right.
Awesome.
Oh, so to kind of switch it up for you a little bit, now that we kind of have a great feel for who you are and kind of what you're doing, just a couple personal questions, and take them as you will. Who are some of the big influences in your life? Whether it's someone you know, whether it's someone you don't know, big scale, small scale, who are they?
Good question. Let me think on this for a second because it's kind of changed in every season of life. Because while I was a student athlete, it was more, of course, like the people on the track who I was trying to resonate with.
Yeah.
But now I would say, I think my biggest influence, one who's never changed, is my mom. Just her heart, her love for people. I've never seen someone just love others so well like this woman. And even sometimes I'm like, I don't know if I can be that loving or that patient. And then I'm trying to think who else from like a fitness and health. The person I'm going to say probably would be Sarah's Day. Not sure if you know who she is. She's an Australian-based holistic health. I just adore her because she's authentic, she's confident, And I've seen like her past videos. One of the things I always do whenever I start watching someone is go back to their oldest videos because, you know, it's very real that some people on YouTube and Instagram just kind of blow up from one video. But she's been the same person, like consistently her since the beginning. And I think that's so important. Like
Yeah.
her love for fitness and passion, but then also having this like truth and vulnerability some days where like her boyfriend broke up with her and she's just crying the whole time and she's like, I can't go work out. Like I'm just distraught and just all of these small pieces that make up who she is in her life. And I just love that because I think it's real and I think it's showing all aspects of you when
Right.
social media can easily be a place where you only see the highlight reel and it's like, no, there was hard days too.
And it's cool because then you see the whole product too. Like even despite all this, like I'm still out here, you know?
Yeah,
And like you still are
100%.
putting out great results. Like that's awesome. Those sound like
100%.
some great ones. Anyone that it, like I hope everyone can admire their mom. And I know there are some moms out there that probably aren't great, but sounds like yours is wonderful. So I always hope that everyone can admire their mom. I love my mom too. I'm just like total awe of her. She's wonderful too. So
I
that's
love
awesome. I
that. Are
respect
they
that.
still in Strongsville?
No, we're out on the west side now, a little further north. So,
Okay,
yeah.
goodness. Can I ask what city, or do you not want to put
Yeah,
that out?
no, we're good. We're in Westlake, which is
Okay.
awesome.
That
Yeah,
is
so
good.
still west, but not so far south.
Yeah, makes sense.
And so, Elias, what are some of like the regrets you have? Maybe what's like your biggest regret so far, if any? Because it sounds like you're doing well, but do you have a regret that stands out to you? And then if so, now that you can look back on it, what have you taken from it?
Honestly, my biggest regret, I would say, would be just college, high school. But I don't know if it's a woman thing. If men experience this too, please let me know because I'm curious to know.
Okay.
Just this constant feeling like almost not enough, like anxious thoughts. Like I remember going in high school, you're constantly worried, like, oh, ACT. Oh, am I going to get into college? Oh, like, is college going to work out? Like, you know, then you get into college. Oh, am I gonna make the track and field team? Oh, is the coach gonna like me? Oh, am I gonna have friends? Oh, am I gonna like get a job after college? You graduate and you get a job after college.
Yeah, it always
Oh, like
works
now
out.
am I gonna get out? Like it's just like this almost constant state. And I, especially in college when it comes to track, really psyched myself out mentally. And track is probably track and tennis, some of the biggest mental sports out there. And if I could go back, I would just say it's all going to work out. Like you said of the analogy earlier of the stew, like this is probably a stupid example. This may be a chicken thigh and it's gonna hurt at the moment, but like it's gonna all come together to be protein later on for your body. Very dumb analogy, but that's kind of where my
No,
mind
we're with you. Yeah.
was going. And so yeah, I would just tell myself to relax. Like it's all gonna be okay. I think especially in our teens and 20s, like we're just constantly like, is it going to work? And God always makes a way. And I think we have to look at the examples of our life and look back and say, like, I've made it this far. Like, why would God fail me now? Like, why would I fail myself now? Like, we're still here, even if life isn't perfect, or even if you're in like a really tough spot, knowing it's going to get better. Or if you're at like the top and you feel amazing, like knowing a downside may come soon and just being in that like humble middle ground.
Yeah, awesome. That's really good. I'm always amazed when people can look back and say, you know what, I can turn this around from something that was maybe difficult. To answer the question that you posed to me, I think, yeah, I mean, of course, I think guys feel like angst and that kind of that worry too. I'm real fortunate, like I probably don't worry about stuff like that enough. I probably worry about like stupid things more than I worry about ACT or like getting into college. I just kind of like, eh, well, whatever. But yeah, I get it. 'Cause like, so something for me is I run myself rampant. So sometimes I'm like, what am I doing? You know, I'm sitting here and I'm like, I feel like I'm doing a million and one things and not doing anything. I'm not getting anything done. I'm not like making headway in things that I really find important or really want to do. So a little different, but similar. And so for me, that's kind of more where I fall. But I know there are plenty of people who, guy, girl, whatever, fall into that for sure, that are like, dude, I just worry about everything. And it's like, no, you'll be good. You'll be good. But as long as you work, like you can't just worry and then wallow. Like, no, you got to worry and you got to do something about it. Like, you can't just,
100%. But
which is
even
why it
what
worked
you
out for you. Sorry.
No, you're fine. Even what you said though of that, like doing stuff on a day to day and kind of questioning, like, I would be lying if I said sometimes I question, like, is me posting this reel actually helpful? Like, is this really helping someone? But like, I definitely resonate with what you said, like putting in that work, but sometimes even like putting in the work, but still having fear, like, is this setting out in the intention that I want it to? Like, question mark. We'll see.
No,
I'll see.
it is. It is. And just to kind of tie it together a little bit, something that I propose is really important. And especially when you're looking at like, how can I move on from regret or maybe some guilt that we might feel at any point, is to be grateful, to practice gratitude and to live in a grateful, kind of gracious way. What role does gratitude play in your life, Elias?
Ooh, that's a great question. I love the questions in this.
Thank you.
I would say I just try. So I have a better everyday journal, which I absolutely love. And every single day it asks you a new question. And the question, maybe like a week ago, was what's one thing that you're grateful for? And even taking that small moment within the busy day, it's always the end of the day, 10, 11 o'clock after you've done workout, work, school, everything. And just saying, like, oh, this one thing of this day made me happy or made me, whatever the feeling may be, it really sets the precedent for like the next day. So I would say I don't maybe do it as much as I should. I need to do it more often. But I think gratitude, like you said, I think it helps propel you into having just a better mindset and better outlook.
Amen. Yeah. I think it turns into like you end up doing that subconsciously. I feel like eventually it becomes so habitual, but not to a sense where you're numb to it. And the sense that like you look around and you find just all these abundances of goodness and it transitions your mind to think from thinking negatively for people that may think that way or into like a way that is just incredibly appreciative of what's around you kind of thing.
Yeah, because it's all based on like the way you look at it, kind of with everything in life, like your perception. What are you expecting? Like, do you have a grateful expectation for this day, or are you just kind of thinking this is going to be another day, I'm not going to get much done? Like, I feel like gratitude even plays into that of just like, oh, I'm thankful for yesterday, like grateful for this day that hasn't even happened yet. Like, then kind of turns into this motivation almost to now let me see how I can get the most out of today. Maybe not. Maybe that's just my thoughts, but
No, yeah, I think it's great. I love that you let it influence your mind a little bit too.
yeah.
Yeah, I have a real kind of bizarre question that I like asking people that have gotten to move around a little bit. What do you
Listen.
think is the biggest thing that you've learned from living in a different city? And do you think that everyone should hop around a little bit and experience different places, specifically living there? Because living somewhere and, of course, just traveling somewhere are totally different.
To answer directly, 100% yes.
Okay.
I think it's something everyone should do, like especially when they can or if they have the means to. It has radically changed me, the way I perceive people. I think it's just a mechanism to expanding your thought and to expanding the way that you see the world, very similarly to traveling. Like going to a different country and studying abroad and doing that for a very long time, because for so long, Strongsville in Ohio shaped me. It shaped the way I saw myself. It shaped the way I perceived myself. And I think going to Michigan State, which was kind of like that first really big change, and having those, hard moments where you're alone and you want to kind of go back to your family, and then like sticking through it. You number one get confidence in yourself, but I also think you start to learn that there's other things and other people and other places out there, and kind of what you were saying of just the abundance. Like, there is so much, and you also even start to realize why you operate in the way you do. So it just gives you another layer of self-awareness. It allows you to be intentional about the people you select in your life. Like, is this person just my friend because I went to high school with them, or are we genuinely have the same values, have like going after the same thing in life? And then lastly, because I sorry, this was a very long-winded answer, I'll just
No,
say
it's great. You can.
also goes back to just being a woman of color. Like, I love Strongsville. I'm so grateful for the experiences. So I don't want this to come off negative in any way.
Not sure.
It's just really difficult. Like, it's hard. Like, you just kind of feel, what's the word? It's shaped a lot of my insecurities, is the best way to say that.
Okay.
and even just of how I think this is more like within Black culture, but how Black men perceive Black women in Strongsville slash Ohio. And so finally moving showed me just how different it is outside of just Strongsville. And it, I don't know, it just really shaped me to just see men, people so differently. And I'm just so grateful because I kind of didn't even realize I had those insecurities until I moved and until I saw something different.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's really great. What do you mind if I ask what part of Florida you're in?
Orlando, Disney,
Wow.
which
Wow,
I
that's
never
kind of
even
wild.
visit.
Yeah. Okay, so what's kind of been your favorite experience down there so far?
Ooh,
Orlando's, I mean, that's tough. Like I'm asking that with some I'm expecting something good. There's a lot going on there.
it is. I would say it's partly the weather. Seasonal
Okay.
depression is real. It's so real. And two, the diversity. I like walk downstairs to my apartment and there is a French bakery that I walk into and I feel like I just stepped into France. I go down the block, there's probably like a homeless man and you're just like, you know, and then you go down another block and you feel like you're in like Italy because there's all this like Italian speak. Like it's
Yeah.
just so many different people and places and things going on that it's kind of like, what the heck? But I also kind of love it.
Yeah, my God, that sums up Orlando. That sums it up. Yeah. For anyone that hasn't visited, that's Orlando to a T. It's just like everything you can imagine thrown into one area. I think it's because they have all those kinds of people just coming in there all the time. You know what I mean? Like with Disney and
100%.
everything that's there and Universal Studios and all that jazz.
Yeah, but I'm downtown, which I kind of love because like Disney's probably 40 minutes from me and I don't even touch Disney. I'm like, that's too much. Like I can't do it. I want to one day, but just for living,
You
it's
have
a lot.
to. You have to. Not now, because you're
Yes.
just kind of getting going, but eventually, right? Eventually.
Yes.
Elias, what is a piece of advice you could offer to someone? And you could tailor it to an audience, you can throw it generally. What is some advice that you would give to people?
Oh, that's a really great one. There's so much. I wish I would have thought about this before.
Yeah. Take it from your experiences, take it from your endless supply of people that you've interacted with, right? You've been a student athlete at a competitive college. You've got a lot going on. You've moved. You've shared plenty of different experiences that are unique.
I would say my biggest piece of advice is to sow. And what I mean by that is to give without thinking of receiving anything in return. Whether it's sports, whether it's life, whether it's you're having a season where you just feel extremely lonely and you don't feel connected, give what you need. And for some reason, whenever you do that, you always end up getting what you need just by giving it. And it seems backwards. It seems like if I need something, like I need to ask someone or I need to demand it or I need to. But for some reason, it's always been the opposite for me. Like if I actually truly want to see change in certain areas, to just have a more selfless mindset towards it. And for some reason, I always end up getting it.
Wow. Yeah, it's almost like you clear out the excess, or you just like and are helping people and all that. Where's an area of your life where you found that to be most true so far? So you said, like, if I'm worried about something, I give in that area. Like, what? Give
I
an
guess
example.
one example that came to mind is like being an athlete, you know, like you're sewing is the best way for me to think about it. Every single day at practice, you're giving, you're giving, you're giving, and you're just like, am I gonna get anything in return? Am I gonna get this time that I want on the track? Am I gonna like, you know, like impress my coach, whatever your goal that you're trying to get by the
Yeah.
end of the day is. But just showing up and showing up, like as you said, with working hard, intention, dedication, motivation, even if you don't feel like it. And that's what I'm saying. So without like means of getting something, because if you just keep showing up, it ends up working out, you know? So give. I'm kind of using the word so as almost like a metaphor for a
Yeah,
lot of
right.
things because it could be practice, it could be you with your podcast. Like that's what I'm telling you,
Thanks.
don't give up. Like I know this is going to just come into all of the stew and pieces that you want it to be. But we just have to continue sewing.
Yeah, thank you for the compliment first. And we do have to continue sewing. It's amazing the good things that we can produce. when we sow
Yeah,
and when we give.
100%.
Elias, this has been amazing. Do you have any other thoughts or comments you want to kind of put out there before we get wrapping this up here?
No, I'm just so curious of your life and just how you wanted to do this, but I know we don't have time, but maybe another time. We can catch up just because I would love to know your motivation behind this too. If maybe in this last minute you want to share that because I'm curious.
Yeah, thanks. Basically, something that has always fascinated me, well, first of all, just people, generally speaking, people, but more specifically, I became kind of entranced with this notion that people have experiences, which is not news to anybody, but these experiences end up shaping their lives. And I think that something from even very small details can end up turning into these crazy influences in our lives. And then really looking at the mindsets that are behind each thing, like, I think this way about whatever microphones because of this experience. And I think that way about another experience because of this. And so hearing the stories, getting someone's background, mixing the two together is going to more likely than not provide us with their mindset about something. And of course, they can share that too. And that's been the main focus. I love people's mindsets about things. I think that a lot of times we can hear from other people and it's like, definitely don't want to do that. Definitely want to do this. And that's the truth of it. And for me, I'm less looking at it from like, I mean, of course, I'm open to whatever, but I mean, I'm not coming here saying like, I need to like take it, all these mindsets from people. For me, I just want to hear and it expands the way I think about things. And I hope for everyone else listening too, they can take these stories, A, find them interesting, and then B, contemplate the mindsets and think about different things that people are saying and why they think that way.
Wow, I love that.
Yeah,
What if
thank
you
you.
start? Very last
No,
question, I promise.
please. Okay.
Of all the people that you've talked to, like what has resonated the most with you? Because you've talked to so many different people with so many different backgrounds and experiences. Like, what's really stuck with you?
Yeah, thank you. I one of the ones that really has stood out to me, there were two women that I had on my podcast that had spent a year in Jamaica and they lived there. And yeah, check it out. It's wild. But it's a little close to home because I had spent 2 weeks there with them. So they were there doing a year of certainly service. They were doing some service, but it was more so an immersive trip for them. They were just there living the culture, kind of experiencing Jamaica. And I mean, they're not on the beaches at Montego Bay. They're in the hills and in the mountains of Jamaica and with the people. And to be frank, it's a very poor, impoverished country. It's very rural. People are self-sufficient in their rural communities. And other than that, it's kind of poor and kind of rough. But regardless, so hearing them talk about it, and they did it every day. And like some of the experiences they felt when they got yanked out because COVID happened and they got pulled out short, and like it's weird to say, but it's almost like they had like death because these are people that they are with every day in Jamaica, the citizens of Jamaica, and then without any warning, because that's how abrupt it was with the delay from the United States and our process with COVID to Jamaica and Jamaica's upcoming process, because they were behind us in how they handled it. Like they just didn't act as quickly. Maybe not surprising, like just the resources. I don't think I'm surprised, right? So basically they were pulled out and didn't get to say goodbye to these people. So they called the people that they could, and these girls are telling the story about how they were all calling the people that they could with their phone numbers and if they had phones, and like telling them like, hey, like we have to go, like there's this thing, it's coming, and you guys are going to be hearing a lot about it, and we're leaving. It just like the crushing responses that they were getting from that and just all of that. But to me, the whole experience was like grief can come from some of the best experiences we have. And I think that I'm really infatuated with how we lose people more than just death. We lose people in life and we lose experiences, but we take so much from them. And that situation kind of summed it up to me because it was very in and of itself extreme, and it's kind of a radical experience. And so that really stands out to me because they're just very blown up, right? Like they were in a foreign place with people that they had just met and spent a whole year with, and they were totally doing it. That was all them. And then they're just immediately pulled. I mean, that's very rare. Like that kind of thing is very rare in our lives, but at the basis of it is that it happens, and we might have it more drawn out, of course, but just that That's life, and the ebb
Yeah.
and flow of it is fascinating to me. So,
Wow, that's really interesting. You know what
yeah.
that reminds me of? Which this may be controversial.
Oh, yeah.
Ghosting of this day and age, and how you may be like talking to someone, and then all of a sudden it's just absolutely nothing. And
Yeah,
I
wild.
personally have never been able to process how people can flip a switch, because it is grief, you know, especially, or say you're dating someone for like a year, then you guys just have this random breakup, and then it's just this traumatic experience. And I feel like we always think of grief as like an actual death, but I agree with you. I think we live through it a lot.
All the time, all the time. And it's experiences, it's people, it's, yeah. And when it's sudden like that, I feel like we almost go into like a shock kind of reaction, and that's extremely difficult.
Yeah, 100%.
That's kind of it, Elias. So I appreciate you being episode 25. You're episode 25. That's kind of cool.
I
That's
know,
a
I
good
saw
one.
that. I thought it was. I like it.
Yeah, 25 is a good one. I don't know.
I'll have to go back. Whatever that podcast was, I'm definitely going back to find it.
Which make, yeah, it's I think it's one of the featured on YouTube. You might be able to
Okay.
find it, but I don't. The formatting on YouTube, I'll have to take a lesson from you, because my formatting is abhorrent, especially in comparison to something that's neat and aesthetically pleasing like yours. But
At all.
so everyone, this has been an amazing episode with Elias Bertrand. You're wonderful, you're killing it. I'm so excited for you, and I really appreciate you coming on. Again, this is episode 25. Check out all of her social media and her fitness and her lifestyle page. I'll tag it all below. If you're listening in the podcast description, if you're on YouTube, I will do what I can to tag it below. It's always hit or miss with them. I don't know what's going on with that, but we'll find a way that you can find her information, get in touch with her, shoot her messages, blow up her stuff, check out everything, become part of her flair, as she described earlier. And yeah, Elias, I really appreciate you being here.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. This is great. And I just love talking with you and learning more about your life and experiences.
Yeah, thank you. Amen. Everybody, this has been another Chats with Clark. Thanks for tuning in. If you haven't yet, it's time that you hit the subscribe button. Thanks again.